kitchen. There's hard to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mashed potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. Hope you've been having a good weekend. Did you make it to a farmer's market? I got to two this weekend, Santa Rosa Original and the Sebastopol Farmer's Market, which I am loath to miss. And oh, fall is certainly in the air and on the tables of the farmer's markets. It's just such a gorgeous but sort of almost heart-wrenching time of year with that kernel of chill at the core of even the warmest fall day. The light is changing from summer's softer, brighter light to sort of the rich gold, almost buttery, browned butter color of fall light. I love this time of year. It's really beautiful. Before I introduce our guests, I just have to say I went to the Green Center on Wednesday night. What a treasure that place is. I was very lucky. I had third row seats for Elvis Costello. And it is just, they were a gift from some dear friends. What a great venue that is. And what a fine, fine show. Mr. Costello was in a really, really good mood. I've seen him in probably every frame of mind possible. And he was extremely generous with the audience. It was fabulous. So tonight's music, when we take musical breaks, will be some classics from and some not so classics that you may not have heard but will enjoy from Elvis Costello. And gosh, 20 years of KRCB, that means Mouthful is coming up on its 19th birthday. November 2nd, it will be 19 years that I've been doing this show and you've been listening. That's a long time. We'll talk about that later. Now we're going to talk about a project called Three Sisters. It's very intriguing. It involves five Santa Rosa high schools, I think, and three foods linked together as the Three Sisters. And on that note, I'd like to introduce Suki Woodward, the slow food leader of the project. Welcome to Mouthful, Suki.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
What can you tell me about the project, sort of the overview?
Well, it was a two-part project. It starts in the spring. Oops, sorry. Starts in the spring when we go and visit teachers at the high schools. And there's a lot of elementary school gardens, but they're just starting the high school gardens. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to really empower those, you know, those teachers in those gardens. And so we've selected five, and we asked them to grow corn, squash, and beans just for the spring. And then to bring those crops in the fall to this event that we're having on the 21st of September, which is at Heron Hall. And it's going to be a tasting event. And then we went, well, who is really great at cooking around here? And we decided that some chefs could maybe cook with the students and bring their foods. So we have three chefs that are going to be there and go to the schools and teach the kids how to cook a special recipe using those ingredients. And it includes Mateos of Healdsburg, mm-hmm. and Daniel of the Backyard,
mm-hmm.
and forgot the, Dominique, who does sweets.
Oh, Dominique is involved. Oh, great.
Yeah, and she's going to do some kind of pumpkin, you know, things.
Mm-hmm.
So what's exciting is that the gardens are just, they all grew differently. They grew the crops differently.
Now, which were the five schools?
They were Santa Rosa High School, and my teacher is here to talk about his garden, and Piner High School, and Robert's here to talk about his participation for the second year, actually, and El Molino High School, and Laguna High School, which did an amazing job, too, mm-hmm. with only 75 students at their school.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's Laguna High School?
It's next to Annaly. It's an alternative school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And did I forget anybody?
Healdsburg.
And Healdsburg.
Oh, and Healdsburg, okay.
Thank you, and Healdsburg, yeah. So it's been a really great journey, and we're going to culminate it with this great Harvest Festival event and make five different recipes, you know, mm-hmm. from the chefs. And
now, is all of the food that has been grown, has it been being used in other school contexts, or is it all of the harvest going to this event?
Well, some of it, of course, didn't make it because of different problems occur as farming events. But maybe Riggs will talk about his garden. Because
oh, definitely. I want to hear about them all.
Yeah, he is one of the largest. It's more like a farm than a garden, really.
Now, you're there on Mendocino Avenue.
Yeah, that's
near
our,
near the junior college.
Yes, that's
and
our
it's,
main campus.
And you guys host, or whatever you call it, the Art Quest program.
We do. And that's a separate part in comparison to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually on the opposite side of campus.
Oh, okay.
But our farm is actually out and located just below the Wells Fargo Center, if you're heading northbound.
Oh, it's not on the campus.
No, we're actually one of the luckiest schools in terms of having a an entire farm to utilize. So if you have ever drove up Highway 101, uh-huh. Right there on your right-hand side, you'll see just past Kaiser Permanente uh-huh. High Center. Just behind that, there's a uh-huh. vineyard, and that's our school vineyard,
uh-huh.
Followed by you run into our pumpkin patch. And all the garden is out there, and we actually utilized 15 students this summer to go through and harvest and plant and manage those crops. To use that to their benefit.
Uh-huh. And tell me about the crops. Tell me how many different things you had.
Oh, we've got way more than I know what to do with. We've actually been very lucky as I just came on in January and building the relationships not only within the district but within our program. We're actually sending all of our produce except for some of the slow food stuff to our district child nutrition services.
Oh, great.
So
great.
They've just jumped on board and they've taken over 300 pounds of overall produce so far.
Mm-hmm.
We grow everything from potatoes to watermelons, cantaloupes, honeydews. If you want me to ramble everything off, I
can
do that.
Go ahead, cantaloupes. We got an hour.
We do, but I've got radishes, potatoes, tomatoes, bell peppers, jalapenos, sweet corn, blue corn, 760 pumpkins, can't forget about the cucumbers. Those have gone wild.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon cucumbers, straight
I bet you might
cucumbers.
Have some zucchini, too.
We do. They're starting to shut down, finally.
Uh-huh.
We actually picked one that was probably about 3 foot long just the other day. But we've got 22 students out there now every Tuesday and Thursday morning
mm-hmm.
That are out there picking and having a great time.
Uh-huh. And has it been mostly students who have done the work?
Yes, the students are the only ones that actually do the work other than me, possibly on the uh-huh. weekends. But I'm just uh-huh. there to manage the students and teach them how to grow their own crops and be uh-huh. able to utilize that further on down the line.
Great. Now, this has been an interesting year. Have you had to grapple with water issues or change things because of the drought?
We've been lucky enough that we're in one of the cooler spots in Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. actually just right there across from Cardinal Newman. It's actually kind of
right.
a little swale. So,
yeah.
You know, watering every 4 days and only for probably a 2-hour period is probably all that we've done.
Oh, great.
And the plants have just gone berserk.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
So we haven't had too much of a problem. We're actually all on a drip irrigation system,
mm-hmm.
And we do have a well. So it does
oh,
make it does
yeah,
make it a little
well.
Bit easier.
There you go. Okay.
So.
Great. And Robert, I want to bring you in. You're at Piner
sure.
High.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Tell me about your garden.
We've got it's quite a smaller garden. It's only about 9,000 square feet, and we just use it mostly to introduce students to the aspect of garden-to-table or farm-to-table aspect of it. We have a big culinary program at our school. We have $1 million facility there that has been doing a lot of venues, different food items. Mr. DeLillo, he feels like a doctor of culinary arts, is the main teacher there. And he's been producing, you know, a lot of different varieties, introducing the students to a lot of different varieties of culinary expertise. And then we're just starting to bring in them utilizing some of the foods from the garden and using that into their culinary lessons and format, and then trying to introduce them to where the food comes from that they're preparing. So this year we've always focused on pumpkins and the Three Sisters plants. We're using heirloom beans, varieties of heirloom beans, and we're growing this year. Last year we just experimented with an Indian Aztec corn, and this year we're doing a popcorn. So it's kind of interesting, a different mode. And then also the different varieties of squash, some pumpkins.
And are students doing all the work?
Yes. Yep.
And well, then you have to know that these guys are out there.
Sure.
You know, like, if they weren't there, it just wouldn't exist, because they put their heart and their soul and their passion.
Well, sure. It takes a dedicated teacher for anything like that to happen.
Teacher.
But, I mean, you don't have dedicated staff. Gardeners?
Or? No.
Where would that be?
No, right. And we unfortunately don't, you know, have a well anymore at Pinery, and we don't have even an on-site irrigation system. But we run a hose 20 feet to a faucet, you know, on campus, and still, because the district's working with us to try and establish an on-site irrigation source.
And you've been doing it for two. This is your second year of the garden.
It's actually been there for about 4 years now. We've been trying to push it along.
But they started. There was our first experiment last year. So they started with us last year on the Three Sisters. And then we took their model, and we made an event last year, and we had 100 people at their high school for eating. We didn't serve so much Three Sisters last year. We served a variety of things, but it was the idea that it was a harvest event, and you know, that people would come, and we would pay tickets, and we actually made a little bit of money that we were able to give back to the garden last year.
Great. Okay.
So, and we had a lot of variety of guest speakers there that really educated the community about the value of heirloom vegetables and organic farming and the whole lichen farm to table concepts.
Great. Okay.
So
we're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back with more talk about the school gardens. It's Mouthful here on KRCB. You're talking about gardens in high schools and the Three Sisters project that's coming up. But before we get more back into the actual program that's happening on September 21st, I want to talk about the students in the program. Because you talked about the Culinary Center. And I don't know, is there a Culinary Center at...
We actually don't have one.
Yeah, you're so close to the JC.
Yeah.
You can send them across the street.
We can. We're actually right next to the district building, so it makes it really simple for us to be able to utilize not only the students that are next door in Ridgeway High School to go over to the district and work with them that way, but, you know, I've been trying to get in contact with teachers over at Maria Carrillo. They have a culinary system.
Right, and they have a big culinary center at El Molino, too.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, you know, back a while ago, girls took foods or home ec, boys took metal shop and wood shop. And what you were taught in those classes, in foods classes, you were taught home cooking. And, you know, some of those classes were really good. It was where young girl, I mean, you took foods in 7th or 8th grade and you learned to cook. Who now are the culinary programs geared towards? Are they geared towards the kids who think they want to go into food service as a career, or who are just going to end up feeding their friends and their families and themselves?
I think for us, it's students that are interested in the culinary aspect. They've had some samplings, per se, or a taste of it, and are really excited about it. Also, they want to, have a place to expand their palates and their interest in food. And so I think they're basically, it is a career pathway.
Focused on career.
Right. So they do take them. They have, you know, different levels of classes that, you know, graduate on to do major events all over the Santa Rosa area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're definitely exposed to, you know, the higher aspect of preparation and food. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So they're definitely engaged, and they're always really involved, and they want to, you know, come and do extra. They'll, you know, stay after and do extra.
Uh-huh.
I know we had the big event last year for the Three Sisters. There were, you know, a lot of students from the culinary department that were all there all night, you know, doing mm-hmm. and presenting and serving and,
uh-huh.
and preparing the food. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it was really
great.
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
So they're just really inspired and motivated. And, you know, with a teenager, I know one way to get to them is through their stomachs.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
They never cease to be hungry, you know.
Uh-huh.
So,
and are you finding that some of those same students are the students who want to work in the garden?
Yeah, they kind of, when they see that correlation, they definitely, you know, have an appeal to it.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, it goes the other way, too, you know, that they're starting the garden.
Then they want to start
that aspect.
Uh-huh.
And we always emphasize, you know, that if you can start to learn how to grow your own vegetables, you know, you have a major impact on the environment in the sense of, you know, reducing fossil fuels and having that whole aspect of higher nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different elements of learning and the environmental impact that you can have from just growing your own garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then preparing your own food, how much you can save and how much more nutritionally better you can eat. So we emphasize all that, and they get that insight, and they're on the roll, you know.
Great. And what are you seeing in that arena?
Oh, I've, being lucky enough to have 15 students hang out with me all mm-hmm. summer just to make sure that the crops
grow. So is it a special summer?
It was a special summer class that we actually offered at Santa Rosa High School, and,
uh-huh.
and I had a bunch of students that wanted to do it, and they all wanted to get into the whole idea of growing crops.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, you know, I since we have so much out there, I didn't have a problem saying, you know, hey, take a watermelon home, bring it
Great.
Home to your family, let it know how it goes.
Uh-huh.
And it actually changed the view of a lot of the kids and also the parents that were a part of it. And,
mm-hmm.
and they all got a different idea, and there's a couple of students that, you know, may have wanted to do wooden metal shop and that sort of thing, but now their main emphasis is let's go and do something in ag, let's go do something with vegetables and
uh-huh.
animals and get an idea for it. So
uh-huh.
it's kind of changed not only my perspective on how I can change students' lives in benefiting
mm-hmm.
and teaching them about gardening and that sort of thing, but I think it's awesome to see how many kids want to do it and, mm-hmm. and what they want to do.
And then during the school year, is it also a class?
It is. I actually have a first period class that meets out there every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7:30 to 8:30. So
what's the class called?
Environmental Horticulture and Viticulture.
Great.
So it combines both horticulture and viticulture since uh-huh. we have the vineyard there.
Sure.
So right now it's all based on horticulture until Kendall Jackson tells us when we're supposed to help pick grapes.
Uh-huh.
So it's all managed by the students, and the students are out there. And so far the students have no complaints. And they're understanding that, you know, this garden's pretty big and we got to make sure that it's ready to go and uh-huh. the product is right for the consumer.
Uh-huh.
So no problems at all. You know, I actually jumped 6 students the first day that we went out there. We went from 22 students to 28 students.
Wow.
And it was just because, oh, we get to go out to the farm, we get to do hands-on activities, and that's something that I've seen not only from my age, you know, minus 10 years mm-hmm. in comparison to what kids are now, is they don't have enough hands-on stuff to go sure. out and do, and this is yeah. a class for them to get out there and do that. Uh-huh. So far, so good, no complaints.
Uh-huh. And then will you sell those 750 pumpkins?
That's the hope. You know, we've had a few calls about them in terms of helping Howarth Park and building their train again. That's a possibility for us to get a part of. But we also will have a pumpkin patch on October 24th, the weekend before Halloween,
mm-hmm.
Where we'll have, you know, FFA students running it all day Saturday, and the opportunity for school kids to come out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And all the students will be doing that.
So students on the 23rd. And then the 24th and 25th that weekend?
It'll just be a Saturday open for public from 9 to 3.
And the pumpkins are beautiful.
Yeah,
the pumpkins are really, really beautiful.
And do you have a variety of them? Like
we
different
do.
Colors?
We have a couple of different colors. Uh-huh. There's some gourds out there. There's some small pumpkins. There's some mediums. And then a couple of the kids decided they wanted to grow giants. And mm-hmm. So you can see those ones from the freeway. They're sitting about, you know, uh-huh. 3 feet off the ground. And so the hope is that, you know, we can get somebody to come out and say, yeah, I want that 80-pound pumpkin. And, you know, I won't have to look at it the rest of the year going, what am I going to do with an 80-pound pumpkin? Uh-huh. But we do have a bunch
makes
of different
compost
sizes.
If you have to.
It does. It does. And I think the plan is to showcase it not only for our ag kids, but for the entire school.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe
the plan
we'll
is,
bring one to the event. Wouldn't
yeah,
that be fun?
I think that'd be pretty awesome. you know, we've got probably 20 of those plants out there, mm-hmm. but with 760 pumpkins on the ground is what the kids counted on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully we can get those all sold. Uh-huh. It'd be a big fundraiser for us.
Great. And then are these classes open to kids of all, sophomore through senior?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
At Santa Rosa High School, We usually set environmental horticulture and viticulture for sophomores to seniors. We don't quite let freshmen in. We gotta teach freshmen the ways.
Oh, that's right.
Just
I forgot
a
the freshmen,
bit.
Didn't I?
Yep. But you know, that's where the freshmen get to come into introduction to ag, mm-hmm. and that's our ag program. So that's, you know, I'm the teacher of that. So I have uh-huh. 36 freshmen that are ready to go. And
oh, that's great. I didn't realize you had an
it.
Ag program at
yes.
Santa Rosa High. Mostly, I just know about art. I've paid attention to ArtQuest because I've had a lot of friends who've gone through the program.
Yeah. No, we actually have 3 teachers there at Santa Rosa High School.
Uh-huh.
I'm the newest addition. But I'm in charge of the viticulture and horticulture side of things, and mm-hmm. then we've got 2 other teachers that are in charge of different market projects that we do.
What sort of projects?
We, for the FFA students, so the students can raise market hogs for the county fair. They can raise market lambs, market goats, market steers.
Mm-hmm.
They can raise breeding projects. They can mm-hmm. raise anything they want to, and anything that's agriculture-related, we can tie them into the FFA.
And that's the Future Farmers of America?
Yes, ma'am.
What a great thing.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that many kids.
Yeah.
There's 330 kids that are not only in our program, but active members in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they all can wear their own blue jackets.
And so El Molino is deeply... They have a whole program also in the Future Farmers of America,
mm-hmm.
and that's really the program that helped us, you know, the kids that helped us start the garden were mm-hmm. in that program, and they also have a culinary department,
right.
And they're the ones that are at that particular school, and also Healdsburg, we're going to be doing the farm-to-table. The cooking is going to be done actually in the farm-to-table with those students, so it's, like, really great for them because they wanted a chef to come in anyway, and so we're matching the chef with that particular class that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're going to when at the school? They're
at the
be,
schools.
At the school, yes.
Yeah, at the schools, the Friday, I think, probably before the event on Sunday, mm-hmm. so it's yeah. going to be great. Probably.
Yeah, I've done a little teaching at a couple of the schools. I think one, oh gosh, one, I'm not sure if it was Ridgeway. There was one that was definitely, what is it called, an alternative school?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. an alternative school.
Yeah, a friend was running one of them, and I went in and taught, I think, with him for a week, and then I did a couple presentations out at El Molino and a couple of other places. So I love working with young kids. Really fun.
They sure are fun, that's for sure.
Exhausting, but fun. Okay, one more musical break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful. Okay,
shoot me a wink. I buy the hot-headed husbands long cool drink. You better come up smelling sweet, 'cause you're a long time stinking. It's a little too late to complain. It's not very far from sulfur to sugar cane. Now if you catch my eye and you find that it runs down your leg, it's like striking a match pretty hard upon a powder keg. They tell you from the borders to the waters of the Gulf, if you take all the sugar you will end up in the sulfur, and you're burning. Hello baby, I'm a pleased to meet you. I wouldn't do you wrong, honey. I wouldn't cheat you, honey. When can I see you again? Wrap you up in cellophane. It's not very far from sulfur to sugar cane.
Champagne, they hit you.
You are listening to Mouthful here on KRCB. My guests this evening, Riggs Laca of Santa Rosa High, Robert Lopez of Pioneer High School, and Suki Woodward of Slow Food Russian River. We are talking about gardens in five local high schools, but we're also talking about a special event that efforts that began in the spring will culminate at Heron Hall on September 21st with a tasting event that is open to the public. So let's talk a little more specifically now about the event.
So the event is from 4:30 to 6:30, and we're selling tickets on brown paper tickets.
Give all the contact information at the end of the hour.
The purpose is for the three chefs to come and teach the kids how to cook something delicious, and they're sort of responsible for the recipe, and then bring it to the Heron Hall that day, and we're going to have a tasting table set up, and we also are going to have some wine and beer on the patio, and for everybody to walk around just sort of like at the tomato festival and grab things and taste them and share in the whole event.
And what's the admission?
The admission is $25 per person, and then it's not really a good place for young children. Mm-hmm. You know, but we hope that we expect to have the...
So all ages can go?
Well, we're going to have 4 to 5 students from the high schools serving the food. So mm-hmm. there'll be some high school students there actually, you know... serving the food that they prepare.
Are you also going to have a display of stuff from the gardens?
Yes, actually going to try to have
kids?
A little
with
silent auction, maybe of that 80-pound pumpkin.
I hope not.
So we'll have some boxes of different types of veggies and stuff that people can, you know, bid on and then take home so we can make some money for the gardens, right? So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I think it's really a contribution that all of us can come together, the five gardens, the three chefs, the Slow Foods people, and anyone else, you know, the farm-to-table people, the future farmers of America.
Now, who are the farm-to-table people?
Well, they're from the El Molino High School.
Oh, okay.
And from Healdsburg High School.
Okay, so a specific group.
Yeah, from those two high schools, they have that connection.
Uh-huh.
So it's just an opportunity to really contribute to the five high school gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always some stuff going on with the elementary school gardens. They've been in existence, really, and promoted for years.
Yeah, we've talked about them quite a bit here.
Yeah, and this is the first year, and I'm an ex-high school teacher. I taught for, you know, a bunch of years in the high school. I taught art, and I taught technology, and then I taught a class called Grow and Prosper in Austin. And we put a greenhouse on the back of our school, and we had a business. And I really could see how hands-on, you know, experiments really turned the students on. And I had very tough at-risk high school kids.
Uh-huh.
And they just were, you know, out there with their little plants, you know, watching them grow. Uh-huh. And it was just an amazing experience. So I'm all about high schools. You know, and it's sort of like the last moment when those kids have a chance to learn how to grow something for themselves before they go out
into the real world. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, why the choice of these three items?
It's very hard to go to a garden and say grow everything, especially when the stuff comes in the summer and no one's around in the summer. So I felt like this would be great because these would come in the fall when the kids came back, and so it worked out perfect, right? And
there's a story behind these three.
Yes, and Robert's good at that story.
Though there's the aspect of from the Iroquois Indians and a lot of other Indian tribes that have adapted the use of the three sisters, being the corn, the beans, and the squash.
And by beans, we should just clarify, we're talking about shell beans, right?
Shell beans, right.
Shell
usually
beans.
Dried beans, yes, right. And there's a lot of them now that are heirloom that have finally rediscovered themselves.
And they're so fabulous.
They're fabulous, yeah. And so those three were working together, and they all represented these sisters that, you know, couldn't sort of be together, and then this boy had to bring them together. But there's just so much aspect to that, the mutual growth that they have, the benefit that they're so... sort of working together and supporting each other in the sense that the corn grows tall and is sort of the sun, you know, worshiper of that sort, and it has these deep roots, and the beans are able to travel and grow above him, along it, and use it as a pole of sorts. Mm-hmm. And so there's that mutual aspect. But also corn is requires a lot of nitrogen, and beans have that amazing aspect of being able to fix nitrogen into the soil. And mm-hmm. so there's that mutuality and that symbiotic sort of relationship going on. And then at the same time, the squash work with their big leaves to spread along, using a bit of that nitrogen as well, but they also keep the soil. Corn likes to have their roots cool and their tops hot.
Mm. The exact opposite of a rose.
And so the squash tends to grow with its large leaves, keeps all the roots nice and cool, and mm-hmm. and retains moisture for them. So it's such a reciprocating relationship mm-hmm. going on there between the three plants that they act as sisters in support. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's also the other aspect of the sunflower, which is sort of the fourth sister, but we're not focusing on that.
Oh,
she grows along, but
I
she
love sunflowers.
Yeah, I know. But she also supports in that relationship, too. But the three sisters are basically that. I can't remember all the real details. It's really an intricate story about how the boy goes out and brings them back mm-hmm. together. And they're so happy because they all longed for each other. Mm-hmm. And they've been lost and separated. And then they come back together, and they make a bond to never be separated again in the garden. And so we want to support that aspect of uh-huh. it, too.
It sounds like a really nice story or mythology that if you took it then into the scientific world, we're talking about companion planting.
Right.
'Cause, you know, a long time ago, I think it was either in the 70s or 80s, that it was that really great book about companion mm-hmm. gardening, Carrots Love Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly where that's sitting on my gardening shelf. So it's the same sort of theory, right? That
definitely,
you know, one plant will require certain things from the soil, another plant will put them in. And then that whole thing, I love the shading aspect.
Right, and they're all beneficiaries of each other.
Yeah.
But they're growing in their own, you know, domain, but supporting each other mutually, yes.
Yeah, you know, it says a lot about monoculture, too, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Yeah, that it doesn't work for many of our things, right? And that it... But that also that it's really I see it really as a sort of a metaphor, you know, leading into the garden, and that that a lot of times that the students sort of represent to me like the corn being out there reaching for the sun, trying to find their way in the world, and that the teachers are sort of the beans, where they're giving them nutrients and helping to support them and but still growing themselves, mm-hmm. and learning at the same time and being using that as to support. And then the community being an aspect overall is like the squash, and that they're, providing the foundation and the support and the coolness that all of us can grow and benefit for mutually in a community.
That's so sweet. Who are the sunflowers?
That's outstanding, like Suki, she's our sunflower. Encouraging us to reach out there. She's always been out there stretching our limits, Sometimes we think we can't do it, and we need a community person like, the slow foods people to come in and say, you guys can do more,
uh-huh.
than, because sometimes we can only see within our realms of our garden fences or, and that.
Sure.
Don't have access or indoor time.
I mean, teachers
to reach
work
out.
So hard.
They do.
Really work hard.
Yeah. So it's important for us to collaborate with, community people to tie that all in and, mm-hmm. and to be that aspect of our connection to the real world, where we can show our students, that, see, what we were saying is true,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for us to really collaborate as much as we can. And
sure.
We're so grateful that they uh-huh. come in and provide us an opportunity to really demonstrate both our skills, but we can't, sort of get out there ourselves sometimes because there's just not enough time in the day
to
do that, too.
Yeah, so that's great.
And another part of the project is, from Slow Foods aspect, is we have a list of what we call ARC seeds.
Yes.
And those are ARC food products, mm-hmm. and those are products that are going extinct. And so one of the things we made sure to do was to give some of those beans, those dried mm-hmm. beans, to the gardens and ask them to grow them so that we would still have more seeds to pass on to the mm-hmm. next garden. And some of them are so beautiful.
They're yeah.
purple and
black. I know
black
that there's one that...
black and white, and I mean, they're yeah. just amazing. And you don't... I hate to be honest, but we always don't always know what we plant them, where we put them, right? Because we're in a hurry to get the garden going. So in the fall, we come along and we pop one open, we go, oh, there's the purple one, mm-hmm. yay.
I know that Canvas Ranch is now has harvested one of the arc beans. They're selling it at the farmers markets.
And oh, they are. I'd like to contact them.
Yeah, I'll be doing a story about them. Well, another the Santa Rosa Original.
Okay.
On Saturdays, and I'm not sure what other markets, but.
Right.
Yeah, I talk to them regularly, and they now have that one packaged up, and it's got the ARC information right there.
Uh-huh.
You could always have a student, you know, burn them up in the greenhouse. That's what happened with our ARC beans.
Oh.
I was gone a weekend taking other FFA members to a state competition and then came back, and I had asked one of the students to make sure the greenhouse gets watered this weekend.
Oh.
Came back at 10:30 at night, and it was 134 degrees in the greenhouse, and all
oh
the beans
gosh.
In there didn't make it.
Oh,
the only
really
things
sad.
That made it were the corn that we actually have for slow foods.
Uh huh.
So that actually took off pretty well, and we didn't have a problem with it, but just lost all the beans
lost the
slow
beans.
Foods gave us.
Oh dear. There's
now,
always next spring.
Doing well with the beans,
uh-huh.
and Robert as well. So it's nice to have other gardens that are sort of backup
sure.
too, for the.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious about, and this is for the schools. Sounds like you've got really enthusiastic students within the program, but I'm curious about this other student, the rest of the student body. Are they aware of this great resource? And you know, is there interest? Are they? Oh, dude, you're so cool. You're in the ag program. You know, where is it? I mean, one of the things I'm really passionate about is teaching people to cook at home. That you don't have to compromise. That actually, home cooking traditionally is better food than restaurant cooking. And I'm talking about throughout history. Restaurants were a place to go to rest. Not for entertainment, and not because that was the source of best food. And part of the reason I'm so passionate about this is we've really seen in this country, we've seen the pendulum swing so far in the opposite direction. So I'm always looking for for the people who don't want to become food professionals. How are we watering their palates? How are we making their palates grow and letting them know what real food is if they don't necessarily see that as a career path? Any thoughts?
I guess at Santa Rosa High School, I'll start this one, Robert, just okay. for you, buddy. At Santa Rosa High School, what we end up doing is we utilize our FFA members. When they show up on campus and they're in their blue jackets and they show up on campus that's supposed to be all orange and you show up in blue and everybody looks at you.
What do you mean all orange?
Our school colors are orange and black, and so on spirit days, if we're lucky enough to have an FFA event, some of our students will wear their FFA uniforms.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So they'll show up, but they're still participating in all those different activities. And I think what we end up doing is the kids that have participated not only in my Hort Vic class but also in the summer class, they're the ones that are advocating outside of class. They're the ones saying, you know, hey, we went out, we learned how to do this. And so we saw a pretty good jump in numbers that first week because I didn't get to show up until January. And by the time that I finally got into place and got things started there at the farm, it was a week too late, and the counselors had already called up people to the office. But I've already had a bunch of different students not only walk into the math department but walking through the ag halls and say, hey, can I get into your class next year? I'd love to be a part of this. And, and I think that's what we really want to do is because being Santa Rosa, we're right there in the center of town.
Yeah.
And it's not a whole lot of agriculture unless you go 15 minutes north, 15 minutes west, 15 minutes to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a big thing for us is we're just going to keep pushing it and keep showing the kids that, you know, you get to come back and you get to take a watermelon to class and watch everybody else go, where'd you get that watermelon from? And then the teachers all ask questions. So I'll get 10 to 15 emails a week asking, hey, can I get something from the farm? And,
oh, that's
and that
great.
Sort of thing. So,
that's a great method of outreach.
Yeah. So it's working out pretty well for us, and we're not having a problem with it. And so, you know, hopefully for the next few years, we keep getting students that want to come out and do the summer class so then I don't have to work so hard and get a weekend off, hopefully. But we'll see how that goes in the summer.
Yeah, we have a garden club, and so they go out and we have samplings for them. You know, they provide samplings to students on certain days, especially the Environmental Week or Earth Week, Earth Week and Earth Day. And we've had things like that where students are just like kind of surprised. And then I would just also, when we're working in the garden, we just have people, students walking by saying, wow, this is really a nice garden. Or, you know, we don't have a garden like this at our school. You know, we have visiting teams coming from other for sporting events and the like. So I think there's that aspect of it. But we still get on occasion, you know, oh, no, man, I just got these new Jordans. I can't, you know, be there today with it. But at the same time, I think the students that are in the garden club, you know, really are excited to want to share that information word of mouth with the other students and keep bringing more and more students into it.
Uh-huh. Great. When will that you have winter break? You'll start planting again in the spring. Will you be doing Three Sisters again? Will you be looking at another form of projects? Or is it way too early to even think about that?
I call Robert first.
Yeah, we'll be doing. Well, we'll be going to put in a whole winter garden, and we'll keep growing. Yeah, we'll keep growing a lot of winter crops, and because you know, we still got to get into all the aspects of you know, winter vegetables and talk all about that and winter nutrition, and then you know, and taking care of the soil. We'll be doing, you know, anything from fava beans, re-nurturing the soil from the corn areas and spaces with fava beans and peas and snow peas. The students love snow peas. You know, it's just such an instant, whoa, this is delicious, you know, because whenever someone's passing by, we pick a snow pea off and hand it to them, and they're like, oh, my God, I never taste anything like this. You know, it's like sweeter than, you know, candy, you know. And so they just love that. And so we do that. We do a big winter garden a lot. And then we want to get ready, and we have a small greenhouse at our high school also, and so students will be getting things ready for in, you know, say January, and like all the tomatoes and other things, because we do a plant sales to try and raise funds for the for the school and for the garden. And and so we produce all the seedlings that we use in the garden as well in the greenhouse. So we use heirloom, you know, vegetable seeds to start them, varieties of tomatoes, and then we're also helping to work with the School Garden Network to produce plants for them as well. But students will be working on that, preparing the greenhouse, putting in a winter garden, and then, you know, there's a lot of other classes getting involved now with Alternative Ed and Grace are wanting to do the garden spaces there, and then our Spanish classes are wanting to do it too, and they're going to emphasize on making salsa and doing other things out of the garden, so, you know, and they use it as a language base, and then I, with my English class, even use, you know, environmental literacy as it's, so there's such an integration of, you know, every, I think every aspect of curriculum can be, you know, taught through the garden and has an aspect there. It's so integrated into our lives and into our education, our learning, and also just in the curriculums. So we have a lot of environmental literacy where there's observations, and more we're trying to get the science department to participate in the realm, you know, because it's pretty obvious.
That, sure.
You know,
and next English.
Right, and next English. Right. So all of those aspects. So,
and the Three Sisters doesn't start until late April, probably.
Okay.
Right. You know, so or early May.
So you'll be doing it again next year?
Probably. You know, we have so many different species now and so many people going that it would be sort of crazy not to just keep going at some level.
Now, or changing the subject slightly, any of you taking your students to or participating in the Heirloom Expo?
Definitely, yeah. We're going to be there. We usually had an exhibit last year. We took third place in our, with our exhibit.
And whereabouts was your exhibit? Which hall?
It was in the students. The students. There's a student garden.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Section in the large pavilion there, and so we had a display there, and we were the only high school. And so, you know, we're encouraging others to participate. And and so we took third place out of all those.
You and know. The theme
Congratulations.
Was?
And the theme was Three Sisters.
Oh, cool. Great.
And so we learned a lot from that. And so we're going to go again this year. And our students went. We have, you know, they're so generous and so such a community conscious organization, Baker Seed and the Heirloom Expo, that they provide buses for students to go.
No cost. 17 or under, which I think is so great.
Yeah, admission is free, you know, if you come on the Kids Day or the Education
Wednesday?
Day.
Wednesday
the 10th.
Yeah. Wednesday is, it opens early. Instead of opening at either 10 or 11, it opens at 9:30.
Oh, okay.
And kids 17 or under, I think, are free throughout the festival, but they have special activities for, I guess, kids of all ages on Wednesday. Are any of you guys involved?
We're not sending. Okay. I'm not sending any students this year. I didn't get around to getting registered and everything else. But what I will end up doing is I'll probably help Robert in terms of getting some different heirloom things to showcase not only the Three Sisters, but showcase what our students produced in addition to what Robert's students produced.
Uh-huh. Great.
So I think it's going to be beneficial for both of us and the entire Slow Foods and
and we have Three a booth too. Program. Slow Foods, Russian River, and
is
Slow
it
Foods.
In Grace Pavilion?
I don't know where it is, to tell you the truth.
Okay. I'm trying to remember where I saw Slow Foods last year.
Yeah.
It almost seems like it was in the room where the tasting went on, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I wandered around for many minutes, trying to find it last year. But
well, this year, Worth Our Weight Culinary Apprenticeship Program, if you all know about that, they're going to have a booth in Grace Pavilion. And I think on Tuesday, I think students are going to be cooking. Wednesday, I'm not sure what they're doing. And then Thursday, some different members of the community are going to be cooking, doing cooking demos. I'm going to be doing one right at noon on Thursday to kick things off.
And what are you cooking?
Well, I'm doing something. You know, the focus of what I'm doing is how learning to make your own vinaigrettes can change your life.
Oh.
And so my plan is that I'm going to do 5 or 6 vinaigrettes in way less than 30 minutes and show how I'm going to make a basic salad, which takes under 2 minutes to make once your greens are prepared. So I'm going to make a basic salad, everything from scratch. I'm going to make an omelet because it's tomato season, I'm going to do a warm tomato vinaigrette for the omelet to spoon over the omelet, which will transform the omelet. I don't put things inside. I put things on top. So just a very, very simple omelet without any filling, but with really good farm eggs so that the focus is on the eggs, and they're just spiked a little bit from this tomato vinaigrette. And then I want to do corn if I can get some really good ears of corn, because corn with a vinaigrette is with a simple vinaigrette of almost any kind is so good. Maple bacon vinaigrette is really nice on corn, but really any kind of vinaigrette is just so delicious on corn on the cob.
Are you going to put the recipes up on somewhere?
Well, my book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings, will be available for sale.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, there's a little plug that will be that will be available for sale. But I'm also I give my recipes free to anyone who asks.
Uh-huh.
I never tell someone to go buy the book. And I have a website, and I post. Recipe of the week, but that's my own freestanding website. But I also have a website at the Press Democrat where I have links, seasonal links to all of my back archives, or as much as I can get up.
Great. Can you keep those? Can you can them and sort of like save them for Christmas presents is what I'm thinking.
The vinaigrettes?
Yeah.
Well, the point of it is you should make a vinaigrette and use it immediately.
Okay. All right.
I have other things you can make for Christmas presents, and I'll be writing about that, and some of those are actually in an upcoming book. But for a vinaigrette, what I really want salad dressings off the shelves.
Yeah, I agree.
Which will never happen, of course.
No.
I'm a little nothing. But I feel like you really free people up when they suddenly realize they can really make a vinaigrette in way under 5 minutes. Takes no time at all. They make just enough. It's delicious. It sparks up everything and they're done and there's almost no cleanup. And it's healthy. You don't have to put any preservatives. You don't need citric acid. You don't need anything except, you need some good oil. You need a good acid. You need salt and pepper. And then everything else is extra.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's what I'm going to be doing.
That's wonderful.
And there will be on that Thursday, I guess throughout the day at the Worth Our Weight booth in Grace Pavilion, there will be cooking demonstrations. And I know that I've talked to Paula Downing, who's a member of Russian River, Slow Food Russian River, that I'm going to be coming by the booth at some point.
Oh, great.
So, Heirloom Expo coming up this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The Heirloom Expo will get you there. I forget if it's .com or .org, but I think it's .org. Pretty sure. If you can't find it, just Google the Heirloom Expo Santa Rosa, and you'll get there. And now we are out of time. So let me thank my guests. The project is Three Sisters. You can find out about it, and you can click through to get tickets simply by going to slowfoodrr.org. and there'll be a way to click through to buy tickets from Brown Paper Tickets, and you can do all that yummy tasting at the event on September 21st at the beautiful Heron Hall, right on the edge of our gorgeous Laguna de Santa Rosa. So we have Riggs Laca of Santa Rosa High, Suki Woodward of Slow Food, and Robert Lopez of Piner High. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations on a successful harvest and a great year. And maybe we'll talk again next year. And maybe I'll see you at the event.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's been wonderful. Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back here for another delicious episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, here on KRCB-FM.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Got some beans and good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says.